Brad Tuttle writes for Money.com as a personal finance reporter. Brad, you're on WGN. How are you today?
I'm great. How you doing?
Really good. I'm not a golfer. And by the way, just one other note about some of you golfers and non-golfers out there. Some of you have said to us, hey, who cares? You know, the average, us average Illinoisans who are just struggling to get along, we're not all anxious to go to our fancy golf clubs or the public courses. We don't golf, we can't golf, or we can't afford to golf right now, so this isn't a big deal for us. I completely understand that. That's a completely valid point. But if the thing is going to open up in drips and drabs, then I'm happy that the golf courses are open for the golfers. So listen to this, though. If you want to get relief for being unemployed in Illinois, you might need somebody to help you with the Illinois Department of Employment Security, but the IDES office does not take phone calls. If you get through, you're the miracle baby. It's hard to get them to chat back. It's very frustrating. And there's another category that you may have bumped into before like this, and it's the IRS. If you've got questions about a stimulus check, which is coming from the federal government, the IRS, or your tax return, or some discrepancy, you ought to be able to pick up an 800 line and wait an hour. And somebody eventually ought to be able to answer the phone. When Obamacare came out, it was a cluster. It was a mess. But there were people answering the phones at the state level and at the federal level. I'm asking you, Brad, writing at Money.com about the IRS. What's happening with the phone lines over there?
Well, not a whole lot's happening with the phone lines over there. You know, even in regular years, answering phone calls wasn't the highest priority for the IRS. You know, they exist to collect our money, first and foremost. But, you know, and in past years, it was about, like, there's studies out that, like, about a third of the people who actually tried to call the IRS during tax season actually got through. And, you know, for the past several weeks, the live customer service option on IRS call centers has been completely out of commission. There's just nobody there at all to answer phones. There's an automated phone line that you can call and get some, you know, you can press your number to get some automated information. But if you want to talk to a live person and ask a question, you're completely out of luck for several weeks now.
And previously, even pre-COVID, it was only 1 in 3 people were probably going to get a live person on the phone?
That was from in past years, yes, especially during during peak times when people have all their tax questions.
Oh, yeah.
during regular tax season. It was hard to get through to the call centers, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to call them in November, you know. I'm going to call them in March or April. That's when
we do
our taxes. That's when, you know, I'm not going to go Christmas shopping in July, although the lines might be shorter. I'm going to go Christmas shopping after Thanksgiving. You need to be staffed up for these things. Okay, so the IRS wasn't great about it. But now, are you saying that the operators aren't even working? Are those people not even there?
They are not there. They are not there. There is news that came out just yesterday that the IRS is recalling workers on a somewhat voluntary basis. It's hard to get clear information. But the IRS does have plans to bring workers back. And they do say that among the first things that they're going to do are get the call centers up and running. Do we have clear dates when that's going to happen? No. Do I imagine that the waits to get through to someone will be longer than ever? Yeah, I do imagine that'll be the case.
Seems to me like there ought to be a way to route the calls to the operator's home phones or cell phones or their IRS-issued work cell phones, and they could make sure these, I mean, anybody with a laptop and a cell phone's working from home these days. You think an IRS agent do that?
You'd think, yeah. The IRS, you know, many, many agents and workers are working from home. It just seems like the government doesn't have the infrastructure to set up that, what seems like a fairly basic, you know, rerouting of phone calls. It's just not there. It's not happening.
I guess that doesn't surprise you, though, right? The federal government is famously behind the curve in technology, right?
They are. Yeah. They are behind the curve in terms of setting up things like that. And again, you know, what are the IRS's priorities? First and foremost, it's collecting money rather than addressing.
That's the second questions. Time you've said that. And I've been angry each time you said that. Brad Tuttle's on the phone line from Money.com. I'm sorry, that's my money. So if they're going to take my money, they certainly have an obligation to staff their phones to a degree that makes me comfortable with the process, right? Because the other kind of thing where they take your money and they don't answer the phone is called theft. That's stealing. If you're going to take my money and it's legal, then you ought to at least be there to explain to me why you took it. That's the only difference, except thieves don't build bridges. But you get my point, right, Brad?
Of course. I totally agree. It's pretty simple. You should be able to call someone, ask some questions. And it's not even just, you know, your average taxpayer who has nobody to call. Accountants and tax professionals, they have no one to call at the IRS either at this point. So you can't even get clear answers, you know, by going through your pro.
All right, so this is you and I just complaining about that. Actually, this is me yelling at you about it and you explaining it to us. But I guess the takeaway is that the IRS knows we're frustrated and they are trying to staff those up. Good luck to you all getting through. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about was people that are using home food delivery services, you know, like Peapod or something like that. And you wrote a lengthy article about how well that's working and what your chances are to get somebody to deliver your groceries. Brad Tuttle from Money.com continues the conversation with us after this. Brad Tuttle writes for Money.com. We're talking about maybe you're thinking about some online grocery shopping. You wrote about that, didn't you, Brad?
Absolutely. And if you were frustrated with just trying to make a phone call to the IRS, just wait until you're hungry and you can't get your groceries ordered. You know, we at Money.com, we review all sorts of things. We have ratings for credit cards and we do have roundup reviews of, you know, best yoga pants to tax software to the best garden tools. And we'd love to be in a position to review and rate online grocery services, which, you know, there's enormous interest in these right now. But to do that, to do our reviews, we'd need to actually be able to find some time slots available for people to place their orders. And we're struggling like everyone else to grab delivery slots. You know, they're scooped up instantaneously out there. And right now, the supply just doesn't. There's just not enough supply to reach the demand that's out there. The demand's just extraordinary.
We're talking Target, Sam's Club, Costco, Peapod, stuff like that, right?
Absolutely. Amazon Fresh, Whole Foods. You know, Amazon has its online grocery operation, and they've been ramping it up for quite some time now. But pretty recently, they closed all new customers. They can't even take new customers. You have to like sign up for like a wait list and be invited to join in order just to order your groceries.
I guess that's a function of how many drivers they have, how many shoppers they have.
It's a function of drivers. It's a function of how limited all the supermarket operations are in terms of how many deliveries they can actually make in a given day. You know, each of these operations works a little differently. Some of these grocery orders, you know, you actually are paying someone to go into a physical store, and these people are dealing with the same shortages that others are. Other operations, they have separate factory kinds of places that the delivery people have to go there, and they're limited. They're limited in terms of the number of trucks they have, the number of delivery people they have, and so forth.
I wonder what your experience is. 312-981-7200. Have you used one of these services? Are you on the list? And how satisfying or helpful is it? I think some people are leery of them because they want to pick out their own bananas. They want to get their own ground beef. They want to look at it and sometimes touch these things. And if you leave that to somebody else, you might not like what shows up at your door, right?
Absolutely. You know, you do want to pick out your own produce. And in these times with shortages of foods, it's also, you know, if you were at the store and you saw that all the chicken was sold out, oh, well, maybe I would go buy some pork, right? I'd get some pork loins or something nice to grill up. But now, if you know, you put on your online order and you put the chicken down and there's no chicken, you simply get nothing. You don't have to pay for it, hopefully, but you won't get that, you know, on the fly decision making that that you do just as a regular shopper.
If you sign up for these services, I've not. It sounds like you need to be admitted, if you will, but then you'll go online, pick out your food, pick out a delivery time. But if somebody else already has that slot and they don't have a driver to deliver your food, then you can't use the service. Is that the problem?
Yeah. My advice would be, first and foremost, before you go and fill up your virtual shopping cart with groceries, is find out if the service actually, if you have a prayer of getting a time slot. In most cases, the answer is no, unfortunately. So what's the point of filling up your shopping cart with foods that you're never going to get delivered? So, yeah, that's the first thing to do, is just see, can I actually get a delivery?
Right, right. Texter, somebody just called in and said that they were a delivery person for Instacart, and that the operation is a hot mess. I presume it was well thought out at one point, but maybe they just aren't scaled for the demand that they're getting, huh?
Instacart, yeah. Instacart has been hiring literally hundreds of thousands of people to make their deliveries. Instacart is one of the operations that, think of it as like, you know, you're basically just hiring somebody to go to the store for you.
Yeah.
It's not like a full-time worker who is making deliveries, you know, during an eight-hour shift. You're basically hiring the equivalent of an Uber driver to go to Costco or some other supermarket for you to go through the aisles, to pick out what is on your list, and to basically do the shopping for you. They're going to encounter the same kinds of shortages that you might, and it's also complicated by the fact that, you know, you're not sure exactly who you're hiring. There's a whole other issue with prices and tipping, and it's fairly complicated. It's fairly complicated, and it's unfamiliar to so many people who are just used to going to the store and picking up their own groceries.
I am getting texts, to be fair, from people who have been using it prior to this, evidently. I mean, they're in. John, Instacart has been reliable, along with Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods through Amazon. Direct service through Mariano's was unsatisfactory. That's one of our local grocery stores. And others of you are texting to me and saying that Instacart is working well for you. Somebody's showing me their Instacart card on a text screen right now, which maybe they shouldn't be doing.
You know, Mariano's actually had a job fair a week or so ago to hire more people to help with these programs.
Really? And is this all because of people just are afraid of going to grocery stores? Is that what it is, Brad?
People are afraid to go to grocery stores. There are shortages, and there are also, at a lot of grocery stores, you know, there's lines. You have to wait outside just to get in because of there's limits on the number of people that are allowed inside to in order to, you know, make sure that there's space for people to operate and
still abide by
social distancing guidelines. So there's a whole range of factors for why, you know, demand has just skyrocketed for this.
Yeah, so if you weren't in, it's going to be tough to get into these clubs now. And if you are in and you're getting service, some of you love it, some of you are a little frustrated, but money.com, here's just how locked out it is. They would love to tell us which, right, Brad? You would tell me if Instacart was better than Peapod or something, but you guys have not been able to get in enough to actually rate them. You don't have a rating of these, huh?
It's hard to do a comprehensive look at these, yeah, because we simply can't order.
Yoga pants.
Just like so many other people.
Yeah, but yoga pants. What yoga pants do you like, Brad? I understand you rated those.
My favorite brand? Oh, I'm going to keep that a secret. I'm sorry.
Mike wanted to jump in on the conversation. You're on WGN Radio. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, John. I have to disagree about Instacart. We've tried it 2 weeks in a row, and both times I ordered, first of all, you get to choose your store, and maybe it's based on where I'm living in the northwest suburbs, but you get to choose your store, and if you choose the random delivery, 2 weeks in a row now, we've ordered at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday, and we've gotten our stuff at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and they send you a text, and they say, you know, do you want a substitute or not? And I think it's awesome. And sometimes, yes, they show up, and they don't have all of your items, but you don't get charged for them. And I highly recommend them. I think it seems like it's a bunch of Uber drivers who are looking for a job. So,
you know, I was talking to a mom the other day. Her son delivers pizza now. She called it contactless pizza delivery. And in 2 weeks' time, on tips alone, he made $1,500. I don't know if that's representative of anything. Do you tip the drivers, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. And yes, I know I'm paying a little more because I work in grocery stores for a manufacturer, so I know what the pricing is. And yeah, it's a little bit higher, and there's a service charge, but typically it's like about, I don't know, after tip, maybe $20 more than what I would normally pay.
Worth it to you.
Now, I got to add one more thing. We tried Target, and I don't know how those guys are going to stay in business, where we ordered like 20 items. And the items came over a 1 week period in probably 20 different boxes with packing materials, where you'd open up a box and there would be a bag of popcorn and that's it. And you're like, and the delivery was free. So I don't know how they're going to stay in business with their service.
That's hilarious and tragic. Thank you for the call, Mike. I'm glad you called in.
Thank you.
I'm out of time, Brad, but this is really interesting. I'm getting a lot of calls about this. I'll probably talk about it more, and we'll ring you up another day for another one of these subjects. Thanks for your time today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Brad Tuttle writes for Money.com.